We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and our guest this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am great. If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get those uploaded to the website shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a Dodge or a Nissan. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us. I covered it all. Alrighty. Would you pray to start us
yes,
out?
Yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. We're so thankful for your goodness, thankful for your faithfulness to us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless those that are listening in today, those that will listen in later, that your word would go forth and strengthen, encourage, challenge, and change us according to your will. We know that you will bless your word. Your word does not return void. And we just ask that we could minister today and that all of the needs that are represented when we go into our time of prayer later, God, that we're just preemptively bringing those before you now and trusting you to work in those needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. That's if you're a meme person, I like to follow memes a lot. I'm a dad joke kind of guy. But sometimes you'll see those ones where somebody posts something where they attempted to do a Pinterest cake. They saw a cake on Pinterest and it's real fancy, and their attempt is less than stellar, but underneath it they'll put nailed it.
Yeah.
And but that's not the kind of nailing it we're talking about tonight or today. Isaiah chapter 22, the Lord put this in my heart for a couple days ago, and has just really been on my mind. I mentioned it some on Sunday in our service, but as we were looking at in the book of Revelation, and it led us back to this. But this has just been on my heart for the past few days, and just want to take a moment here today to encourage you and just let you know that God is for you. And isn't it awesome that God can handle you? Mm-hmm. You ever feel like you're just too much for some people to handle? You know, I'm too loud. I'm too boisterous. If you know me very well at all, you know I like bright colors. I'm when I die, I'm going to tell people, do not show up in black suits. It better be pinks and blues and purples, and you know, celebrate me home. You know, I like my bright colors. I life can be very boring without. You know, I'm not just a white light Christmas tree kind of guy. I like the colored lights sometimes. You know, I'm just that kind of guy, and. You know, sometimes people probably think, and I'm also the kind of guy when you come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, hey, how you doing? And you haven't had your coffee yet. I'm too much for you to handle at that point. And sometimes we just feel like we're too much for some people to handle. And sometimes we are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I got too much baggage for some people to handle. But to know that God can handle it is a wonderful comfort to me. Mm-hmm. And so Isaiah 22. And we'll start in verse 20 here this morning. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, if we just read that part, it could be a little bit confusing because we don't have the context of what this was concerning, what Isaiah was speaking. But if you read in previous verses, and you'll find there in verse number 15, you'll find a man who is the treasurer, and his name is Shebna. And Isaiah, the Lord has told Isaiah to go and prophesy to Shebna and confront Shebna, because Shebna was basically almost second in command to the king, King Hezekiah, who was a godly king, who was a God-fearing king. This man that was under Shebna, who was under him, and a lot of the people of Israel were going away from the Lord. And so Isaiah confronts this, and he goes to Shebna and begins to tell him, he says, what are you doing here? You've hewn out a place for yourself. You've made yourself an immaculate tomb. He was so confident that nothing could happen to Jerusalem, nothing could happen to them, that they would never go into exile, even though it had been prophesied, and even though it had been confronted with it. He was just so sure of himself that he built himself a tomb and was so confident that he was going to be buried in Jerusalem. But then verse number 18, Isaiah speaks as the mouthpiece of God and says, he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. And there shalt thou die, and the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of the Lord's house. He had become so confident and had built up for himself chariots and basically had sat down and said, nothing bad could happen. There's a familiar story of that in the Gospels. Jesus, and I wish I could, I'm terrible about addresses, so y'all forgive me. On Scripture, sometimes I can't remember exactly where it's found. But there was a man who had the barns, and it was growing, and he said, well, my barns aren't big enough to hold everything, so let's build more barns. And he builds them, and he's very confident. And what did Jesus say? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The same mindset that man had was the same mindset that Shebna had. He was very confident in who he was, and overconfident, and he was not trusting in the Lord. He was going his own way and doing what he wanted to do and not walking in the fear of the Lord. And so God confronts that, and that leads us into what Isaiah began to prophesy concerning Shebna. He said, God's going to take you. He's going to cast you like a ball into a far country. You ever just gotten so frustrated with something, you just picked it up and just threw it, or you hear that phrase, I trust him only as far as I can throw him. Well, you know, some people, I can't throw very far. But if God decides he's going to trust you as far as he can throw you, that means he can't trust you at all. He can throw pretty far. And so he says, I'm going to throw you like a ball into a far country. And that always makes me think of my dad, who had a phrase of, I'm as lost as a ball in tall weeds when he gets confused. And that's about where they were. They were as lost as a ball in tall weeds. They were so arrogant and lost in themselves, and God had to deal with that. And so he confronts Shebna. And so once Shebna is confronted and it's told to him what's going to happen to him, then Isaiah gets to give some good news, not for Shebna, but for everybody else. And that's where we find in verse 20, where he talks about my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Now, there are two Eliakims in Scripture. There is another Eliakim who was more of a puppet king for Pharaoh, I believe it was. This is not him. This was a God-fearing, God-loving, humble servant of God. And notice what Isaiah prophesies of Eliakim to Shebna. And he says, I will clothe him with thy robe. Isn't it something when God tells what's destroying us that I'm going to take it off and I'm going to put it on something else that's worthy of it? And here's this man who is so confident, but he said, I'm going to take that off and I'm going to give it to the one who's worthy. And I will clothe him with thy robe. And let's just go right there where Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. Y'all remember that? Well, the train, talking about, you know, if you've been to a wedding, you've seen a train. But the king had his train. And when a king would conquer another king, they would take the train of that king they conquered and sew it onto their own. The longer the train, the more conquering the king. Well, this king in Isaiah 6, his train filled the temple. Isn't it good to know that God's conquered everything that you and I face? And so he says, I'm going to take off that robe and I'm going to put it on somebody who's worthy. You're going to be conquered. And we'll get there in a minute. We're talking about Eliakim, but you're going to see here in a minute that Eliakim is foreshadowing a silhouette of something better. So I'm going to take off your robe and give it to him, to Eliakim. I'm going to strengthen him with thy girdle, and I'm going to give thy government into his hand, and he's going to be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Now, in that day, the servant of the house, he who was basically the head of the household under the king, he carried that shoulder in a type of strap or latchet. I'm not certain exactly what it looked like, but he carried it upon his shoulder. It was a symbol that this is the man who has the key to anywhere in the kingdom. Like anywhere in this, he can get into. And I'm going to give him that key. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to give it to him. Is this starting to sound like somebody else we know who took the keys of a couple things? Yeah, we're getting there. And he said, and I will lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And I might just get excited here in a minute, y'all, because we're talking about something I love here. But Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaking to the Philadelphian church. Verse number 7 says, these sayings saith he that is holy, and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. So right here, Jesus points us again back to Isaiah 22. And so what we find in Isaiah 22, yes, it's talking about Eliakim, but Eliakim is nothing more than a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ himself. Don't you just love that you can cut any page of the Bible and somewhere it's going to run red because Jesus is going to be found somewhere in there. It's just amazing to me that we can see Jesus right here. And he says, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Man, just to know that God is sovereign in our lives. And we see this in Jesus, and Eliakim has this, but it points us towards Jesus, that he will open and he will shut. And what's so wonderful about that, when Jesus told them that in Revelation 3, he was talking to the church of Philadelphia that had been faithful. They weren't being persecuted, but they had a little bit of strength left. But they were the one church, one of the two. One of them he encouraged because they were facing, Smyrna was facing persecution and death. So he encouraged them. But the church of Philadelphia, really, he just had good things to say to them. Like, I'm setting before you an open door. You've got a little strength. Not that he wasn't identifying that as a bad thing. Saying you've got enough strength, just enough strength to know that you can't do it on your own. So you're going to lean on me. And I've set an open door before you. And I open and I shut. I have control. I'm sovereign. And so he's writing this, and he said, I am the one who is holy and true. Well, he's holy in his character, and true meaning not fake, genuine. He's holy and he's genuine in his conduct. And so we see him pointing us as a church in the direction we ought to go. And so we see that from the perspective of Christ in that passage. And so we see that he is leading us and his sovereignty in our lives. But now we get to verse 23. And this is really kind of where I want to go this morning. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. Now, Ivo Patterson, that's my grandpa's name, did not believe in anything other than 16 penny nails. Y'all see that cross right there, that wooden cross? In his house, that would have been hanging on a 16 penny nail found in a stud. He didn't believe in finished nails. Everything had to be a big, giant nail. And I mean, I hated to have to take anything apart that he put together because he believed in putting things in a sure place and making sure they were going to stand the test of time. I mean, that an atom bomb could have gone off there next to their house and every picture would have stayed put, you know. And so when we look at what this prophecy concerning Eliakim, but also concerning Jesus Christ, he says, I'll fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Now, in that time of when they would construct their homes, you know, they didn't have cabinets. They didn't have a lot of what we have today for storage purposes. So what they would do, and a lot of times they would use rock and mortar. And so as they're building with their rocks, they would put that mortar in, and they would find a crevice of the rocks throughout the house. They would do this in several places. And they would have a long spike peg, so to speak, that they would put into that mortar and set it, and then put another rock on top of that. And it would, and so that peg went all the way through that wall, and it came out to inside the house. And so, and then they would build upon that and around. So that wasn't going anywhere because it had all the pressure from the other rocks, and it was mortared in. And it said, and so they could put just about anything on those pegs, and that's what they did. They would hang, and notice he said from the all the vessels of small quantity. Let's just imagine if you had some fine china in ancient Jerusalem at that time, you could put your little teacup up there and it would hold it. And we think, well, that's just a teacup. Yeah, but here's the joy of it. It's gentle enough and able to hold a teacup, but it's also strong enough that they could hang their meat off of it. They could hang heavy objects off of that. They could, I mean, they could. It would withstand hundreds of pounds of pressure, possibly at least 100 to 200 pounds of pressure could be put on these pegs and it would hold it. And so when he said, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and upon him all the glory of his father's house, everything could rest on him. And that's why I want to talk about it, nailed it this morning, is that did you know God can handle you? We sometimes we think, you know, well, I don't want to bring that to God. That's really not that big of a deal. You know, I mean, other people are dealing with cancer. Other people are dealing with this. And, you know, I'm dealing with, I just my wrist is going numb because I got carpal tunnel. But it really makes it where it's hard for me to write and it's hard for me to do my job. And I just really like the Lord to heal that. But sometimes we're intimidated because we think it's such a small request to bring before the Lord. But, you know, it was a man in when Jesus was in the temple teaching, he asked the man, he said, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched forth what? A withered hand. And it was made whole, right? To some, it's just a withered hand. He can go through life and learn to write with the left. But to him, that was a big deal. That was, but to some, that would be a small thing. But then Jesus walks up on a funeral, and the same one who said, stretch forth your hand, reaches out his hand and touches a man, and he comes back to life. And so from the smallest to the biggest, God can handle it. And so he is a nail fastened in a sure place. There's nothing more frustrating. Y'all ever done this? Go to hang up something, and you thought you had it in a stud, and it was something heavy, and you thought for sure you had hit that stud, and you found out when the mirror came crashing to the ground and busted into 100 pieces that you didn't? How frustrating is that? Did you realize how many times we put stuff on hooks that in our lives that will never hold it? They'll hold it for a while, but eventually they're not fastened in a sure place. They will crumble. So often we will put, anybody ever done this? Hey, I'm going to put this on my friend. And our friend couldn't handle it. And they let us down. I'm going to trust, you know, and don't get me wrong. We need our friends. We need family. But sometimes mom and daddy don't have the answer. Friends don't have the answer. Nobody, your therapist can't handle it. They can walk you through some of it, but you need somebody to bear you up. You need somebody not just to talk you through it and stand beside you as you carry it and encourage you to carry that. You need somebody who will help you carry that, who is able to bear that burden. Some people can't bear your burden because they don't understand. They can't relate. They have compassion. They have empathy. But they don't know where you're coming from. They don't understand exactly what you're feeling. They don't understand the struggle that you're facing. You may not understand my struggle with my Pepsi eggnog drink addiction, okay? Because y'all don't like Pepsi eggnog. But Twisters got me hooked last year. And they haven't had it out yet. And I'm starting to get jittery. But y'all don't get that because you're like, either you don't like Pepsi or you don't like eggnog, or you just think I'm weird because I like the two together. That's okay. But you don't understand why I'm struggling with that at all. Well, likewise, I don't understand why some of y'all struggle with not getting fruitcake at Christmas. Fruitcake's disgusting. Okay, I know these are very general, but I'm not trying to go too deep on us right now. But sometimes we just can't. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, and so we should. But there are some things that we need God to bear us up. A lot of things. We need to be able to put that on him. And I have found that any time I put it on him, it never fail. He didn't drop it. You ever try to hand something to somebody and they dropped it? Well, you're going to buy a new iPad because they didn't care about it as much as you did, or they got butterfingers, but he is a nail fastened in a sure place. So when we say nailed it, what we're saying is that he will stand the test of time. Anything I have ever put on him, he has borne, and he can handle. Because you know why? We have a high priest who is touched. I like how the Bible says, we have not a high priest who is not touched by the filling of our infirmities. I think that's how he said it. But anyways, let me just put it in simple terms. Our high priest has been touched by everything that you and I have ever dealt with. When he went to that cross and bore the sins of the world, every addiction and the pain that comes with it, every wrong decision, every bit of harassment, bullying, any of those things, every sin that we have dealt with in our own lives, that we're ashamed of, hidden sin or presumptuous sin, things that we premeditated about, he bore and he understands. He didn't commit them. But he became sin for us. And if he and bore them and conquered them, and if he conquered them at Calvary and gained the keys to death and hell, remember we talked about he's got the keys of David? There is no reason that we can't just trust in him. Put it all on him. Remember, he talked about, Jesus said, "He who hears my words and does them, I liken him to the man who built his house upon the rock." I just can't help but believe in that house that was built upon the rock, there's probably some pegs in a sure place. And Jesus is a peg in a sure place. He can bear you up. I'm just going to go this route because this is the way I feel I need to on this. But sometimes, let me just speak to our elders here today. Sometimes you feel like nobody knows where you're at. Nobody can hear. Nobody understands. Nobody can relate to the loneliness you feel. I'll let you know, Jesus understands. He's been lonely. I mean, at the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not that God forsook him, but God had to turn his back away from the sin. And Jesus felt alone. But in that, you can know that he is able to succor or help those that feel that way. And when we put those things on him, when we're weeping in the night because we feel forgotten, we feel insignificant, we feel irrelevant. These are things I've heard elders say. I just feel irrelevant. I feel like I have nothing to offer. I'm going to tell you something. This pastor right here, I value our elders. I learn from you. You have no idea how much wisdom you have that you can pour in to a younger generation. The only thing is sometimes if we're not careful, we look at the younger generation and we think, well, they don't care about what I do. Our attitude can be very different towards the younger generation, and the younger generation can be a little bit cocky in their attitude. And somewhere along the line, we just got to learn to get over ourselves and love one another and be a family of God. But I want you to know that loneliness that you feel, you can put it on Jesus. He can handle it. You know, busy parents, let me put this to you. You can put your busyness and the overwhelming feeling that you have on him and find rest in him. You know, I love how Charles Spurgeon said it. He said, let the same God that we worship in our joy, let us extol him the same way when he gives the song in the night. He's not only the God of the day, he's the God of the night, and he can give a song in the night. And sometimes as a, you know, I'm 34 and got three young children, and life is busy and it can get overwhelming, and you feel like you're caught in a whirlwind and you're just exhausted. But he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor under heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Put it on him. Cast all your care upon him. I know I'm kind of hitting rabbit trails this morning, but I think you'll understand this morning that you can put it on Jesus and he'll bear you up. I'm going to pause right there because we're about halfway, and I know we've probably got some prayer requests and stuff.
Michael Ballard asked for prayers for his wife, Lori, who was diagnosed with cancer. Rose Bailey sustained an eye injury Saturday night during a friendly family Nerf war.
Oh, dear.
And she's got some blood and pressure. And we want to pray that the pressure will go down and it'll just completely heal without having to have surgery.
Yes.
And I have a cousin, Taffy Ty, who has a brain tumor. She's been on some meds that are not shrinking the tumor, but they're causing her a lot of bad side effects. So she's not going to be taking those meds anymore, and she's going to be seeing a new endocrinologist in January for another MRI and a new plan. And then we want to pray for our sister Monica and her family.
Yes, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. Again, Lord, I lean into my favorite scripture where you told us in Hebrews 4:16 that we could come boldly before your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, Lord. And we come before you not in arrogance, but in total dependence, in full confidence that you are faithful and that you are a prayer-answering God who has promised that if we ask, we would receive; to seek, we would find; to knock, and the door would be open. And so, that being the case, Lord, and knowing your faithfulness and your goodness to us, Lord, and we thank you for who you are, Lord, we bring Michael Ballard before you, and for his wife, Lori, as she has been diagnosed with cancer and the journey that they're about to endure. Lord, we pray that you give them grace. We pray for healing, for a complete and total recovery. And we pray for her to be made a testimony of your healing power and virtue. And Lord, that you would just work in a mighty way there. We pray for Rose Bailey. We pray for her eye. Lord, that you would just reduce that swelling, that there would be complete healing. Lord, we know that God, you, as we've read through Scripture, you have given sight to the blind. And so, God, if you can give sight to the blind, you can restore an eye that's been damaged, Lord. And we just pray, God, for that today, that it would be completely, that pressure would go down and there would be complete healing without any need for that surgery or anything of that nature, and that it would just be completely better. And, God, we pray for Taffy Ty, this brain tumor. Lord, we pray, God, against this brain tumor. We rebuke it in your holy name. We pray that it would be turned in on itself and destroy itself from within. And, God, that she would be made whole. And also, God, these side effects and the medication, Lord, that you would give wisdom to those treating her. As she meets with this endocrinologist in January and the MRI, we pray for a good report and for her to be completely whole and made new in her body. And God, we pray for our sister Monica and her family, the situations that they're facing. Lord, you know all of those details. And we pray for grace. We pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. And we pray for guidance. And Lord, we pray for grace for understanding. And Lord, we just pray for unity there. And we just pray that you would work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.